The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
Did you know that there's so much counterfeit merchandise out there? There's no way for you to sell your stuff for top dollar until someone credible gives it their stamp of approval. If it's not authenticated, it's not authentic. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio.
And we're here each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques and collectibles, and so much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of these markets every day. And as of now, you have a friend in the business. If it's not authenticated, then it's not authentic. Today on our Insider Report, you'll get the inside story on who's who and what's what in the authentication and appraisal of your valuables. Also, we'll be talking to Ted and Natasha of Ted's Collectibles and Auction, and we'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of the authentication and appraisal of jewelry, diamonds, coins, sports memorabilia, and more.
Now, I have a good story that really illustrates the point we're making tonight. I'm sorry, this actually this morning. A lady came in with a Swarovski necklace she would like us to sell at auction for her. And we looked at it. She's a lady that we know very well. We trust her. The hallmarks, and it was common for some name brand jewelry, the hallmarks was a little mushy. Couldn't quite tell if that was authentic or not. She insists, yes, we got that at the Swarovski store, and I believe her. She knew it was from Swarovski, and I believe her. I was pretty sure it was from Swarovski. But when I told her that we couldn't offer it at auction for her, she was so angry with us. She thought that we thought maybe she was lying or something, and she's to this day very angry with us. But she didn't understand that what really the problem was that it doesn't matter what she knows, it doesn't matter what we know. If we can't prove it to the public that that's authentic, the public won't treat it as authentic. It won't bring the authentic price.
Well, and I had a similar thing. We actually had some merchandise in tonight's auction. No, actually, it was last week's auction that we had to pull out. A gentleman brought us a number of pieces, and among the pieces were two apparent Spanish cobs. Spanish cobs are strange Spanish coins from the 1700s, where they started with a lump of silver of varying weights. They put the lump of silver between the anvil die, the bottom die, and the hammer die, the top die, and somebody just whacked whacked it good. And it imparts a design to this irregular-shaped coin. And the coin could weigh different amounts. It could measure different amounts. Well, these were supposed Spanish shipwreck cobs, meaning they'd been buried in seawater for a long, long time. They were corroded. And in order to even see what they were, they had to be cleaned up. And by the time we're done, I couldn't tell if they were real or not. They're widely counterfeited for all the reasons I just told you, because they're so hard to authenticate. So we did a specific gravity test and determined that they were high enough grade silver to be real. We did a nitric acid test and determined, okay, they were high enough grade silver to be real. I listed them, called them apparent Spanish cobs, and told the story about the specific gravity and the acid, and then we uploaded it to the internet to sell it. And the consigner saw the description, and he wasn't angry. He understood. He said he was confident that they were real, but I said, I cannot guarantee that. I cannot authenticate them. And we have a very good track record of offering only authentic merchandise. So, I mean, it just proves our point. If it's not authenticated, then it's not authentic, and it wouldn't bring top dollar. He says he's afraid with that description, he'd only get $5 or $10 each, where they could be worth $50, $100 a piece. So he asked us to pull them out, and that's what I did. And that's our theme of today's show. And we're going to tell you much more about that. But first, as always, it's time for this week's In the Money Trivia Quiz, the quiz where you win the answer.
And first, let's review last week's quiz. Last week, I asked, I said most gemstones are the result of the intense heat and pressure found deep under the Earth's crust. This gemstone has an organic origin, can take thousands or even millions of years to form, comes in a variety of colors, and here's the clue. And myths say they might even contain some dino DNA. Name this stone. Well, that's a reference to Jurassic Park, and the answer was amber. We had our winner this week was Jessica Martin. She won a pair of multicolored amber and sterling silver earrings. If you are the winner, please come to the Jewelry Exchange and Auction Gallery at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days to claim your prize. Our gallery is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday evenings for our live auction. For more information, click on the Contact Us tab on our website at jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And now for this week's quiz question.
Good. Let's do this week's question. And here it is. At one point in U.S. history, we had a 5-cent coin made of silver that was known as a half dime. At that same time, we also had a dime, a 20-cent piece, a quarter, a half dollar, and a silver dollar, all of them made of 90% pure silver. But the really, really stupid thing is this. All these coins had exactly the same design. Especially problematic, as you could imagine, was the 20-cent piece, which was just a little bit smaller than the quarter. And imagine walking around with a 20-cent coin and a 25-cent coin in your pocket with exactly the same design. Almost, well, actually, even more stupid than the Susan B. Anthony that the U.S. government made from in 1979 through 1981. We said, hey, everyone's going to get confused with a quarter. Don't make it. And so they made it anyway, and then they said, we're going to stop making it because everyone gets it confused with a quarter. Well, gee, thanks for listening. Well, here's the question. That design, the half dime, the 20-cent piece, the quarter, the half dollar, and the dollar, all with the same design on it. Today, what do we call that design? In the world of coin collecting, there's a name for that design. And we're going to give a prize to the first person to email the correct answer to quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. You can also submit your answer directly from our homepage at www.inthemoneyradio.com. Then just listen to next week's show to see if we read your name on the air. If we do, you can claim your prize at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days. You can enter as often as you like, but please, only one winner per household per month. Really nice prize this week. Remember the email address, quiz@inthemoneyradio.com, quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. Good luck. And now we're just going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back with this week's Insider Report. Hi, this is David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction and co-host of KLUP's In the Money radio show. When you want a new car, you don't drive your old car to the junkyard. And when it's time to move, you certainly don't sell your old house for firewood. So why would you treat your old jewelry that way? Your unwanted valuables aren't scrap. At the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, up to 25,000 qualified bidders from all over the world compete for your unwanted valuables at our live auctions. Tonight, we have a David Yurman and James Avery jewelry, well, lots of it, and a lady's 18-carat yellow gold Patek Philippe wristwatch, brand new Art Deco Tanzanite and diamond jewelry, bulk Morgan dollar lots, and so much more. We also need your coins and currency, firearms. Well, tonight we have three rifles, I think, and right, three, Adam?
Yes.
And we're going to sell them all without reserve. Just sell them to the highest bidder. And we need almost any unwanted valuable that you have. You can sell it to us on the spot. We'll buy it outright. Or you can auction it for even more money. What's in your closet? Let us know. Let's talk about it. You'll get more at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604. We're members of the Better Business Bureau. Call us at 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And please join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP. Now it's time for this week's Insider Report. This week's topic, if it's not authenticated, it's not authentic. And of course, we're referring to the fact that the marketplace will not value your merchandise at the top end unless it believes that it's real. There's a lot of counterfeit merchandise out there, and somebody has to put their stamp of approval on it, or else the market will just say, well, how do I know it's real? Frankly, well, that's one of the problems with eBay, despite all of their efforts. Next week, our show's entitled What's Wrong with eBay, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But typical auction lingo, all merchandise will be sold as is, where is, with no warranties expressed or implied, all sales final. In other words, you be the expert. And that really kills the sales at a lot of auctions. I see coin auctions where they say, look, we're not coin dealers. We're just telling you what the consigner said about the coin, so you be the judge. Well, I don't get it. That wouldn't work at our place.
Yeah, the consigners are almost always way optimistic.
Well, they're prejudiced.
When it comes to coins, jewelry, just about anything, actually.
You know, we always say, okay, be optimistic, but get real. And I don't know why anyone would continue bidding at an auction or continue buying from somebody who says, we don't make any guarantees whatsoever. At the jewelry exchange, come on and we'll show you our tray of shame. And it's not our shame, it's the shame of the industry. Counterfeit everything, Rolexes and Montblanc pens and Tiffany. It's estimated that up to 65% of the Tiffany jewelry on eBay that's guaranteed to be authentic is not authentic. It comes from statistic comes from a pretty reliable source, someone who we give credibility to. So that might work, that kind of non-guarantee at a auction where you're buying a dining room table. You say, I mean, you know, it's real wood. It's not all banged up. I mean, what else do you want from me? I'm willing to bid on that, and I'm willing to put that in my house. But within our own areas of expertise, there are critical categories that even the experts shouldn't trade in without certain guarantees of authenticity. Certainly jewelry and diamonds. Adam's going to talk about that in a minute. He's our resident jewelry and diamond expert at the Jewelry Exchange. Coins and currency, that's my department. I'm going to say a few words about that shortly. Designer brands. You know, there's a well-known flea market here in town that got in a little bit of trouble a few months ago for selling designer brands that weren't designer brands, even being warned not to do it anymore. They continue doing it anyway. Adam just got back from New York with his wife, Ween. They were at GIA headquarters and all up and down the streets, right? What did you say?
You want Rolexes for under $100?
Oh,
you
wow.
Want all the Louis Vuitton for under $50?
And also, of course, autographs and relics, including merchandise from the world of sports. When I was Adam's age, even a little bit younger, and had my first gallery, I went to an antique show in Long Beach, California, a huge show in Long Beach. And there was a dealer there. He shows me an old picture, and it's an old photograph of a woman in cowboy gear. And flips it over, and there's a name on the back. I forget the first name, but let's say it was Barbara. It says Barbara James. And that guy says to me, that might be Jesse James's sister. And I guess I'm supposed to get excited and buy the piece because that might be Jesse. Oh, but please. I mean, if that had been authenticated by the Smithsonian, maybe I would consider that. But just that might be something important, that might be something real, that just doesn't have any credibility at all.
I think most people, when they bring us their merchandise, they're thinking, well, why shouldn't somebody bid on that? Why shouldn't they believe that that's real? But that's not the question.
The question is
why should they believe
it?
Why should they believe it's
real?
You
know, since we opened the jewelry exchange 3 years ago, not one coin has been returned to us for being overgraded, optimistically graded, or because there is some question of authenticity. I've been collecting since I was 8. I've been dealing coins for 33 years. I studied with Ken Brissett, who is not only an ex-director of the American Numismatic Association, but he's the current editor of the Red Book, a guidebook to U.S. coins. And the secret of our success of not having anything returned is sincerely trying not to push the envelope in when we authenticate and when we grade. And as a result, you end up with a loyal following with people that with whom we have credibility. And it's not to say that I couldn't make a mistake, but because there's the effort and the track record, our customers know it's a pretty good bet that the coin's going to be what we say it is, that it's going to be real, and it's not going to be it's not going to be overgraded. You know, and sometimes that reputation isn't good enough. We bought a large collection once that included a 12-ounce gold Chinese panda coin. Although the coin at the time had about $14,000-$15,000 worth of gold in it, we sold that coin for $26,000. And the buyer bugged us day and night about that coin. He just couldn't rest until he got it back from PCGS, Professional Coin Grading Service, and they said that not only was it authentic, but that it was a high-grade, unaltered, unimpaired coin. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you spend $26,000 on a coin, you'd like to have a little more than just a wink from the guy selling it saying, don't worry about it. I mentioned PCGS. PCGS, Professional Coin Grading Service, is part of Collectors Universe. Sometime Google Collectors Universe. It's a publicly traded company that not only is one of the two most respected coin grading, authentication and grading services, but also they are the owners and operators of PSA, Professional Sports Authenticators, also PSA DNA that is that authenticates autographs of every type, including entertainment, people in the entertainment industry, and also they do postage stamps and currency. PCGS, along with NGC, Numismatic Guarantee Corporation, they are the number one and two top tier grading and authentication services for coins. They don't reflect current standards. They actually set the standards. A PCGS says it's an MS63+. Ladies and gentlemen, the market treats it as an MS63+. You know, then there's ANACS, the American Numismatic Association Certification Service. They were the first service to authenticate and grade American coins, starting in the early 80s. But the fact is, they've since been taken over by a private company. The American Numismatic Association's not behind them anymore, and so they don't have the pull. They don't have the credibility that they once had because it's now a private company. But I would say that they're in the second tier, along with a company ICG that's coming on strong. And then there's PCI, Photo Certified Institute. Well, PCI, the statistics show, because people track this, when you're dealing we sold a silver dollar a couple weeks ago for $4,400. We sold a 1955 Lincoln penny for $2,100. We sold a gold coin authenticated and certified by NGC for $57,500.
We never would have been able to get those prices unless they were authenticated.
Absolutely. How do I know it's real? Well, just trust me, okay? That just doesn't work. To my knowledge, at this moment, these five companies, PCGS, NGC, ANACS, which is ANACS, ICG, and PCI, whether you consider them for top tier, second tier, even maybe the top of the third tier, to my knowledge at this moment, these are the only companies whose grading is recognized by eBay, any of these other services, and there are dozens of other services with all sorts of acronyms and initials. You're not even really allowed to mention their grades on eBay because they just don't pass the test, what the lawyers call the smell test. When you look at their merchandise, it's optimistic when it's graded. Sometimes it's downright silly, and often it's just outright fraudulent.
We made up a coin grade, BS70, actually.
I was just going to tell that joke. You stole my thunder.
I'm sorry.
You know, you coin people know that MS70 means perfect coin, and we look at so many coins from these third and fourth and fifth level grading services. MS70, no, that's BS70. No such thing. You know, any one of you listening this morning could come to our gallery and we could sign papers and create a partnership and create our own grading service, and we could grade everything MS-79, which doesn't even exist. There's no law preventing us from doing that. But why should anybody believe that? Why should that have credibility with anybody? Well, it shouldn't. So let the buyer beware. You are hereby warned. You can come talk to us at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak, or call us really anytime, 210-592-8786. If you just want to show us your stuff or just to talk about whatever you want to talk about, there's never a fee. There is no obligation. Please come and pick our brain. We give you some real insight into coins and currency and other collectibles and jewelry and diamonds and colored stones, to be sure.
And authentication is important with jewelry, too. One reason is that people bring in jewelry all the time, and they have no idea what it is. They say, this is 10-karat gold, and I say, well, no, it isn't. It's 18-karat. And this is sterling silver. No, it's platinum, actually.
And it's magnetic.
And so people feel the need to explain it to us, and we say, why don't we explain it to you? But when it comes to metal and stones, we can start to certainly identify those. But even when it comes to high-end pieces, we're talking big, nice diamonds. When we sell those at auction, people don't necessarily want to know our opinion. They assume that everything we say about our own merchandise is going to be very optimistic. And so that's why we have appraisals and certifications from third parties. They're disinterested parties. They have no interest in what it sells for at auction. The appraisals have dollar amounts. The certifications don't, but they essentially do the same thing. That when we want to see certifications, it's for large, nice diamonds and gemstones. We want to know what a third-party gemologist says about the quality and the identification of that stone. Anybody can write an appraisal. We write appraisals. You can write an appraisal and not have any certification at all, not have any idea what you're talking about. But again, that's the idea, that we want an appraisal, or we want a certification from a respectable company. The reason why people write appraisals are so that we can see what does a third-party gemologist actually say about the grade of this stone. That's why we have GIA, the Gemological Institute of America, EGL, the European Gemological Laboratories. They are the top two respected diamond and gemstone graders. And the reason why people submit gemstones and diamonds to them is because they will grade them accurately. In fact, they'll even set the standards, just like PCGS and NGC. They will set the standards when it comes to diamond grading. And so what they say goes, that when you have, I can grade a stone very accurately, and it might even have the same thing that a GIA certificate might say, but when it has that GIA certificate, that is the end all. That is exactly what that stone grades, and we can be confident of that.
Yeah, when Adam grades a stone, he presents his credentials. You have a chance to see, why should I believe this guy? Also, you know that we have state licensing from a few agencies, and we have a Better Business Bureau membership. You can check us out and see if there's any reason to believe it or not when Adam tells you what he believes a stone's grade is. Also, what we'll do sometimes, if you're dubious, because we tend to sell colored stones and diamonds way below the market value, we'll meet you at a jewelry store, your jewelry store, any jewelry store of your choice. Let's show the merchandise to your jeweler, to your gemologist, and hear what they have to say about it. And if you want to have some fun, ask what they would charge you for the same stone. We see appraisals, jewelry appraisals, where on the appraisal certificate there's not a name of who appraised it and what their credentials were, and there's a misunderstanding or an outright fallacy out there that just because somebody graduated from a GIA training course, that they are now a GIA-certified gemologist. GIA doesn't certify gemologists.
That's true. Yeah, you're a GIA graduate gemologist if you've graduated the GIA courses. It's a school, as well as a grading laboratory.
So a GIA certificate means it was shown to three employees of GIA.
At least,
and they had to have some kind of agreement on what the grade was. It's not just some guy down the street that took a mail order course through GIA, and now he's qualified to make unequivocal statements about the quality of a gemstone.
But ultimately, the question is, what does that mean for auction merchandise? That if you have an appraisal, if you have a certification from a third party, we can expect that to bring more money, especially if it's from a respected company. When we have appraisals from people that are obviously being optimistic about their merchandise, you might as well not have the appraisal. You might as well throw that away in many cases.
I've seen appraisal statements where words are misspelled, and where scales and standards are used that don't even exist. We're looking at that saying, why would anybody in his right mind give that any credibility?
And just a real quick story, a man came in the other day, it was last Saturday, was looking at a 1-carat diamond I had graded in the auction, and he was arguing with me. He was arguing with me about the grade. He was saying it was 1 or 2 grades better then I said.
I heard there was an argument, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't like this. And then I realized that he's saying, oh, he thinks it's better than what Adam said.
Ultimately, I said, I stick to my grade. I looked at it. That's the grade. If you think it's that much better, please buy it.
And I got to tell, too, I got an email yesterday from a gentleman, had a wedding set, a used wedding set, appraised value.
It was $8,200.
Yeah, $8,195, and he's hoping to get $8,000 for it. So I can walk into a jewelry store and buy it for that. I can buy it wholesale for a third to a half of that, and a used wedding set. Oh, come on. People don't really want to buy used wedding sets. Imagine, gentlemen, if you had tried to start your marriage with a used wedding set, how would your wife to be like that? So the credibility of the appraisal is in the description, it's in the credentials of the person who makes the appraisal, and it's in the information that's there. When somebody shows you a little banged up stone with an appraisal of $18,000, and I'm thinking of three letters of a particular company that we see their appraisals, that we just laugh out loud, you don't believe that if it doesn't make sense. Well, that music means that we're up against a hard break, and KLUP is about to take you away for a couple of messages, but we're not going anywhere. We'll be right back with Ted and Natasha from Ted's Collectibles. Don't go away. You're listening to In the Money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. We're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Our guests today, Ted and Natasha from Ted's Collectibles. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on In the Money. Ted, please tell us about your business.
Okay, well, basically I have a sports card and collectible business that's evolved into taking anything of collectibility or anything of value, basically, if it's collectible, antiques, beer collectibles, little of everything, coins, jewelry, anything. But mainly we focus around sports memorabilia, autographs, baseball cards, graded cards, stuff of that nature.
Yeah, we know you as the sports guy, and we know Natasha as the sports chick. Tell me,
more and
Natasha,
more every day.
I know you have a retail store, and I know you're out in the community, and you know, Ted's a big guy, and I think when Ted talks about sports, we believe that Ted knows something about sports.
Right.
But being the lady in the situation, do you find that some guys just don't want to give you credibility with about your sports knowledge?
Exactly. Unfortunately, it's like that. But I'm his right-hand man, so to speak, and you know, I've learned a lot from him, and I try to share my knowledge with people and just basically let them know we're on the same field. We're pretty much on the same level of, you know, where things are and stuff. But sometimes people don't give me the time of day, but I like to turn things around on them. So
yeah, sometimes she knows more than they know.
Well,
and,
sure.
In a short amount of time.
Well, sure.
Well, I have the same kind of problem being the youngster. People give more authority to you, David.
Yeah, but you know, even when I started, I was 29 when I had my first gallery, and people used to come in and say, could I talk to your father? And I said, my father's a chemist. He's in New Jersey. you got to talk to me.
Well, where's the real owner at?
Yeah, the real owner. Hey, Ted, you recently got your Texas State Auctioneer's license,
That's
right?
That's correct.
What did that take?
It took me going to a week of school. It was basically 12 hours a day, and we took the state exam after that and passed it, and here I am.
I don't even know if I'm going to explain this right, but someone told me recently you have an NHRA Super Comp Dragster license.
Well, it's basically, it's the next step. It's the first step to driving like a top fuel dragster or funny car, which goes 300, 330 miles an hour, but you got to start somewhere. And I'm an inspired drag racer. I just want to get my business off a little more before I go to that world.
So you've been out there, in the cars racing?
Yes.
That's cool.
And it's a good way to sponsor my business, too.
Well, on a day-to-day basis, what type of merchandise do you specialize in? What type of merchandise do you prefer to deal in?
I prefer to deal in anything of value, honestly, but the sports cards are where my knowledge lies the most, and I'd say 90% of everything I deal in is baseball cards or something of that nature, autographs, memorabilia, game-used merchandise, or even race stuff, you know, race-used merchandise, pieces of tires or fenders or stuff that were on a race car.
Yeah, well, we know you guys pretty well. We've been dealing with the both of you for years, and I just got to ask you, how do you learn so much about sports and sports collectibles?
Well, I guess it basically you got to have a passion for it first. You know, that's basically what I love sports to begin with. And then I realized, oh, there's cards and stuff you can collect. And then I realized you can make money on some of the stuff too. And it's basically my collection until I sell it. It's a revolving collection. So
eventually you get to own everything.
Everything,
right?
Exactly. And I've learned you don't fall in love with anything, even though some stuff still tends to stick around a little longer than it should. But
we have some dealers, some ladies who deal in jewelry, and if you love jewelry, what a great opportunity to own all this wonderful merchandise and then flip it, sell
exactly,
it,
exactly.
And buy some more.
And you can get more, and it opens up opportunity for the next thing. You know?
So you're buying and selling. Where does this merchandise come from? Where do you get this stuff?
For the most part, we rely on you, the people, to bring in their unwanted stuff, stuff they no longer need, or if you get a point where you need some cash, you know, come in. Or now we have the auction, option. You know, if you don't agree to the terms or the offer that I like, then maybe you can consign the item to our auction. Yeah, and maybe. Being, in the sports, I prefer that the stuff be sports memorabilia or antiques. But, I figure I'm the only auctioneer in town that has this much sports knowledge, so I want to stick in that realm.
And take
for the
advantage
most part.
Of that,
exactly,
sure.
Exactly.
But you purchase merchandise outright as well?
Yes. I prefer to purchase it outright, but if we can't agree upon the terms, then maybe you could consign the auction or to an auction too.
Today we're talking about authentication of merchandise and credibility when you make claims of authentication. We know that eBay, for example, has a list of approved authentication services for autographed sports memorabilia. Why is that? What's that all about?
Well, for the most part, it's because it's just like you were saying with coins and jewelry. I mean, you have to have somebody's credible opinion behind it to approve or to say it's real or not. Because other than that, anybody could sell anything, Babe Ruth autographs or whatever. You could just say it's real and you have to take their word for it.
Yeah, you mentioned Babe Ruth's autographs. I mean, does every auctioneer have their Babe Ruth autograph story? Look, tell yours and I'm going to tell mine.
Well, I have a few of them, but one in particular. We went to an auction, I'm not going to say where, outside of Austin.
Okay. That could be anybody.
Yeah, it could be anywhere. And there's a lot of towns outside of Austin. But it was basically a whole auction devoted to these obscure items signed by players like Babe Ruth, Cy Young, Honus Wagner.
Lou Gehrig, right?
Lou Gehrig. Especially Lou Gehrig. And a lot of those guys were signed together, which, there was a Cy Young Christmas card there signed in green ink.
Did all these guys get blue Sharpies back in the 20s and 30s? Yeah. Isn't that something?
They must have got prototypes or something because they didn't have them then. But
yeah, we got a package unsolicited from an attorney in Philadelphia. And folks, if it came from an attorney, you know it has to be good. And we look at this merchandise, and all of them have authentication certificates that look very, very good. And we look into it a little bit. And we called some friends of ours, frankly, up at Heritage Auction in Dallas. We're fortunate to have a relationship with the biggest auction company in the world, Heritage Auction. And they had a little trick. It was pretty cool. They have a Lou Gehrig signature on a high school play program from New Jersey, from a junior high school in New Jersey. And so they look at, and Lou Gehrig, famous for what? Never missing a game, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So they look into it, and apparently when the Yankees were out in St. Louis playing a baseball game, Lou Gehrig was at a junior high school in New Jersey watching a play and signing autographs. And so even though there were so many other things wrong with this material, Heritage was able to say to us, I mean, think about that. What sense does that make? Just no good. So we sent all that stuff back, and the attorney never said to us, why are you sending it back? He knew the drill. And when we looked into it, we saw the same merchandise everywhere, always with the disclaimers. We're not the experts. You be the experts.
As is where.
All sales final. No returns. You just can't do
it. Well, it's funny with this auction, the couple that seemed to buy the majority of the items in the auction missed the opening statement. Not that they would have listened anyway, probably because it didn't stop other people from bidding. But she even said that this company has known to had fraudulent autographs and stuff like that, which just discredits everything.
Well, it kills the sale.
Yeah,
what's
it totally
the point
does. But apparently it didn't because people were still bidding.
Well, then you're just taking advantage of people,
exactly.
I think, who might be impaired in some way. What's the point of that?
Exactly.
Well, in your personal business, is counterfeit merchandise or misrepresented merchandise a factor at all?
Of course it's a factor, but it's not as bad as people think. I heard the FBI said 90% of all autographs are fake. Well, if that's the case, then, it's not happening here. But still a big portion, and if it can be faked, it will be. especially with the classic players like Babe Ruth and stuff like that. They're auto-pinning stuff now and tracing it to where it's almost exact.
Auto-pinning? What is, how
well,
does that
basically
work?
I don't know how it works exactly, but it's like they're
it's
using
like a stencil.
Stencil type thing, and it just does it to the T.
It's a machine, right?
Yeah, it's a machine. Well, actually, it might have something to do with the computer, too, where it's just dead on, and
sure,
it's real hard to tell. And there's a company out of Florida, won't give any names, but they're consigning to a ton of the auctions, and we're seeing these type things. It's usually Joe DiMaggio and Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle.
Muhammad Ali
is a big one, too. Then they'll throw in names like Chad Henne and Dan Marino, which normally aren't fake. Marino is, but Chad Henne is never faked. But even those aren't real, and it's to kind of throw you off. Why would they have Chad Henne in there?
And circumstantially, it seems, well, this must be good merchandise.
Exactly.
But right, we see that with coins, too. Yep. They'll even counterfeit not-so-valuable merchandise.
Well, I don't have any direct experience, but they say there's over 100 factories in China that do nothing but manufacture United States coins. And, of course, it used to be just the best coins and just the highest grades, but now they're manufacturing rather low-value coins because you think about it, you take, 1, 2, 3 cents worth of pot metal and turn it into a $10, $20, $30, $40 coin, and all this is being done by people who are working for $2 or $3 a day. Well, hallelujah. And until recently, eBay would not do anything about it, and the United States government wouldn't do anything about it. The numismatic community screamed about it for years, and finally, they're starting to do something about it. But look, you know, I kind of explained a little bit why I get a feeling sometimes when I'm shown something why I would think maybe it's not real. And what are some of the ways that you can tell if a piece isn't authentic, like a game ball or a uniform or maybe an autograph?
Well, game balls and jerseys and stuff, they usually have distinct markings that say they're for the player. Usually they're made specifically for that player, especially jerseys. A ball will say game ball on it, and it's a high-end ball that you really can't buy. So it pretty much says it, but as in other merchandise like gloves and stuff like that, it's a little harder to tell, so you're going to have to do your research. Going to eBay, checking completed items, and just looking at the pictures and comparing it, but still, you're forming an opinion. You're not really getting 100%. But that's what the grading companies do, too. They're giving you their professional opinion.
Yeah,
it's
you were telling me before 100%. The show, you're saying grading companies aren't 100%. Right. Do they actually publish statistics?
I read a published one where it was 8 to 15% failure are,
getting by.
Yeah, exactly. So even if it's 8%, 8 out of 100 items fake, and that's certified by PSA. I don't know.
Well, PSA.
PSA is they actually published it themselves, which I was so surprised by.
I just want to mention PCGS, the coin side of PSA. When they say that, boy, a lot of these Chinese fakes, these counterfeits from China are pretty good, I think I read between the lines, some of them are getting through.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ted, I heard you mention Florida. This just seems to be a recurring theme. Whenever somebody wants to send me something from Florida, I don't know what it is about Florida laws, but the big red flag that a lot of counterfeit stuff, a lot of people not playing, I don't know what I just had to say, a lot of people not playing by the rules seem to be from Florida.
It's the philosophy of the state of Florida that if fraud occurs in the state of Florida, the attorney general will help you. You're outside the state of Florida, have a nice day. And they just don't care. We've seen, I've been around a long time, I'll be 60 next month. Florida, I don't even want to do business. Please don't make me do business in Florida anymore. Ted, when you're buying merchandise from somebody, if you make a mistake and it turns out to be fake, what can you do about it?
Move on to the next thing.
Now, when you're selling merchandise, on the other hand, and it turns out to be fake, or if that ever happened.
It has happened.
Yeah,
actually, it's happened
right?
2 times with the same card, the Michael Jordan rookie, which is the most heavily faked card in the world. The fakes are actually better than the real thing a lot of times because 1986, they didn't have the greatest prints and presses and stuff of that nature. But yeah, both times I've had one and it came back not authenticated, so I had to give the money back. But I've learned from my mistakes and I know not to buy that card unless it's graded.
Exactly. So you'll do that if you sell something and it turns out not to be real.
Yeah,
you just
definitely. Yeah, it's bad business not to.
Well, we think that too.
Yeah, but apparently not everybody does.
Not everybody does. I can't believe the arguments. In fact, a lot of times people will contact us with a problem or a perceived problem because they're not always right that they have a problem. And they're ready to do battle. Their loins are girded for battle. They don't have to do battle. If there's a problem, let's fix that. I don't want to create ill will out there. How can a collector, especially a novice, protect himself against counterfeits or altered items?
Well, before you get involved in anything, you should really do your research. I mean, just don't set yourself up to be scammed. I mean, just do your research. There's, with the internet, you can find anything these days. At least give yourself a real good advantage going out there and buying stuff. But it doesn't help or doesn't hurt to, like, get in touch with your local dealer and, you know, form a rapport with them and get to trust them. And then they'll help you out along the way.
Well, that's a question I wanted to ask you. If someone had some stuff, and we make that offer all the time. You know, when it comes to coins and jewelry and diamonds and the merchandise we specialize in, I want to be your guy. Please call us. Come see us. Use us. I want to make $1 million from you, but it doesn't have to be today.
Exactly.
We got our whole life to do that. And so people want to talk to you. What should they do?
Just give me a call. I'm 210-732-6653. And if we do not answer, please leave a message. We will get right back to you and kind of just give us a little brief description of what you have and, you know, and a little story about it. And if you're looking to sell it and do, you know, whatever.
You know, Ted, here in Radio Land, when we give a phone number or an email address, we always repeat it. Could you do that again, please?
210-732-6653. And that's the store number.
And they could talk to you for free and you'll just tell them
the truth. Yeah, actually today somebody called and asked if they should make a trade. A guy had not authenticated Spurs basketball, and he wanted to know if he should make the trade. And I had no part in this. I wasn't going to make any money, but I still gave him my honest opinion on it. Hopefully he'll come back to me when he wants to purchase
something. Sooner or later, I think that builds some goodwill. Hey, we're starting to wrap up here, but I got to ask you, some of the most exciting items and unusual items you've handled that you can talk about on the radio?
Well, recently I bought a really nice comic book collection, which I wasn't into comic books, but I can't deny their value. I mean, Fantastic Four 1 through 25. I mean, the first one has a $36,000 value in mint condition, but mine's around the $2,500 range, which is a whole nother story. Conditions everything.
Yeah.
But, we see some obscure items. A lot of times people are trying to sell us things that, you know.
That what?
too good contraband, to be? Just being in the neighborhood I'm in, honestly, it's just weird things come in. So people have an opinion on what something's worth.
Tell me about it. Our first show, when we talked about the In the Money Facts of Life, wow, we tried to, in a nutshell, just talk about that. And just the purpose of this whole show and the reason we have people like you and Natasha come on here is let's get some real information out there. There's so much scams. A lot of people are scamming themselves with their high expectations.
Exactly.
Let's get this straight. I can't tell you how many times we've looked at entire estates where the people were in dire situations, needed to raise money, and we had to break the news to them. Folks, you really don't have anything here of any kind of value. We know that you're a new auctioneer. What do you have planned for your auction?
Okay, well, our next auction is Tuesday, August 21st at the Fiesta Inn and Suites. It's right off of 410.
Where's that?
It's off of just right off of 410. I do not have the address currently.
Well, if someone gives you a call, and what's that number again?
210-732-6653.
There you go. You know, I charge you a nickel every time you say your phone number. Good. They call you and they get all that information. And I think you advertise on AuctionZip. They can get the information.
Yeah, AuctionZip.com. And the auctioneer number, just put in 31302, and that's my auction number. And all the auctions will come up that we're currently having are the ones we're going to have in the future. But also, I have that address. It's 4934 Northwest Loop 410, San Antonio, Texas, 78229, and that's Fiesta Inn and Suites.
And the date again and the time?
Tuesday, August 21st, 7 p.m.
And there's a preview session?
Yeah, preview will be all day long, I think from 10 a.m. all the way till 7.
I'm going to throw you a softball here. Is it important for people to preview before 100%. They start bidding?
You got to know what you're buying. You can't rely on a picture or a description. You really need to look at it yourself and put it in your hands, whatever it takes, just for you to know what you're willing to pay for it and kind of set a price what you're willing to pay and stick to it, you know?
Yeah, we say all the time here, don't preview during the auction. That's how mistakes are made. And there's no period where, a grace period where you can say, look, I changed my mind. I want to return it. You bought it. You own it. And you, no auctioneer wants to hear about how you changed your mind.
Yeah, last week I was talking about a beginner's guide. I wrote a beginner's guide to bidding at auction. We posted that on the homepage at jewelryexchangeandauction.com. I'm already getting great responses, some people reading that. Check it out. Read it. And it's good for anybody's auction.
And feel free to check it out yourself and lift it if you think you can use it. And, you know, it's a good introduction for your customers,
definitely, too.
Hey, Ted, I always like to end in every interview with the same question. What question do you wish we had asked you that we didn't ask you?
Why did you become an auctioneer?
Why did you become an auctioneer, Ted?
That's because the flow of merchandise that comes in, it's overwhelming. Retail can't keep up with it, it seems. So I figure with an auction, you put it in auction, it's gone, all of it, you know,
flip
and
it.
Start fresh, you know, and hopefully we can do that. Not to mention I've had some shady dealings with other auctioneers that haven't paid their commissions and stuff of that nature. It just makes me want to do the right thing, you know. We were put in that position and we didn't feel really good or respected, so we want to kind of come across as, you know, different and want to treat people how we want to be treated. So.
And Natasha, before we go to our commercial break, anything you want to say?
We just wanted to give San Antonio a good sports memorabilia auction, you know, formula, something like that, which we have to travel out of state, which is great. But, you know, we just kind of want to put our roots here and see what we can offer for people. So if they have any questions, they can feel free to call us at any time.
Please call. What's that number again?
210-732-6653.
Great. You know, I'm going to tell you, we had our first auction, and we spent a lot of money and a lot of time. Three people showed up. So don't be discouraged in the beginning. Just keep it up. If you're going to have an auction, you got to have an auction. And
exactly.
People will learn, and they will come. We're going to take a short commercial break now. Then we'll return to open up the phone lines and the emails here on In the Money with our special guests, Ted and Natasha from Ted's Collectibles and Auction, and Adam and me, David Bluestein, from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. Everybody knows that you can get great deals on jewelry, coins, and collectibles at our Saturday night auctions. But did you know that we now have our federal firearms license? That's right. This is Texas, and Texans love guns. We are selling guns just as fast as we can get them, and our bidders want more. We need your unwanted firearms for our live auctions. We'll show them to over 10,000 qualified bidders to get you the highest price. And for a limited time, we'll do it for a reduced commission, only 20% of the sale price. Nobody else in town can do that for you. Just mention this ad to receive this special offer. It's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction each Saturday in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, member Better Business Bureau. Call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com and join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP.
You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Our special guests today, Ted and Natasha from Ted's Collectibles and Auction. I know we have some questions here. We're talking about authentication of all sorts of merchandise. Adam,
throughout the week, I've received
some
emails. That's right. I have an email from Samuel. He says, I have a whole bunch of baseball cards. What are they worth? And do you need to see them?
Yes.
Well, Ted, I want
100% I need to see them, but you can narrow it down a little bit. If you look on the back in the year they were produced, if you see they were made in the 1980s and 90s, there's a real good chance that you don't have anything. You have maybe a fourth of a penny. And that's basically what a common card from that era is worth. There are some exceptions, but they're like a needle in the haystack. Michael Jordan insert cards from that era, they were randomly inserted. Some of those have thousands of dollars of value, but other than that, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anything of any kind of value. But, I mean, I could go on and on about this subject. So, yeah, even 50s and 60s, you got to have star players, and then condition comes into play, and then there's so many factors. But, you know, it's one of those things we really would need to see them.
Yeah, we always refer to the In the Money Facts of Life number 10. The definition of rare is you don't have it. And sure, you want to be optimistic, but you got to get realistic too. And if it's from in that date range, we've sold tubs of those, 10,000, 20,000, for $10 or $20. And it can be a lot of fun, but just not an awful lot of
value.
Next question.
Chris writes, I have a signed baseball. I'd like to submit it to a grading service. And what service do you recommend, and how do I go about sending it to them?
Good question.
I would recommend PSA DNA just because they seem to have the most reputable business in the company in the business, and most people refer to them for authentication. And you could just Google their name or PSADNA.com and just get on there, and you could just submit it to them. Normal items cost around $30 to $50 to submit, but if your item is very valuable, they seem to charge you a little bit higher for that, especially for vintage players of Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, stuff like that.
Yeah, PSA DNA and PCGS are both parts of Collector's Universe,
right.
A publicly traded company. We know those people from their early days, and they're sincere. They really want to They really want to do a good job with this type of merchandise. To submit a coin, as Ted says, sliding scale, depends what it is. It's kind of a little bit difficult, but to submit an ordinary silver dollar probably costs you $20, $25, although we know that dealers can have bulk deals for as low as $5 each. But the problem is the shipping. You want to send it in registered mail. You're going to return it to your registered mail. So it might cost you $70 to actually get a certification on something, and it better be worth more than $70.
In some cases, it's not.
In some cases, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I also have a question from Sandra. She says, well, I have a, this is a recurring theme, I have a signed Babe Ruth baseball. Huh. How do I determine its value?
Like we said before, you really need to submit it to an agency like PSA DNA. There are like auction houses like Christie's, Sotheby's, and stuff like that you can submit it to, and they'll actually get it authenticated for you, but they'll charge you a whole lot more.
I get an awful lot of people coming in and saying that they personally, or their father personally, went and had a baseball signed. They know it's real. Do they still need to have it authenticated?
Well, if it's for their own personal use, no. But if they ever plan on selling it, you just have to have an item like that authenticated. But they say that's the only real autograph is one you got in person.
You know, so much of what we're talking about reflects back to our very first show when we published the In the Money Facts of Life. Even from the very first one, that nobody wants your smelly old junk. Just because it's old, and even if it's real, just because it's old doesn't mean that people want to compete to own it. And especially if it's been hanging around in your garage and it smells like cat urine, there's a pretty good chance that nobody wants that. And so often, we have people telling us about what it says in the book. The book says it's worth this. This book says it's worth that.
The book is a guideline.
Yeah, sell it. Well, why don't you sell it to the book then?
In the eye of the beholder.
In the eye of the beholder.
Remember that. It goes with everything.
Folks, we're out of time for this week. Special thanks to Ted and Natasha from Ted's Collectibles and Auction for joining us. Next week, our program, What's Wrong with eBay? We'll have our insider's report and welcome our special guest, Carrie McCorkle, eBay power seller, to share her expertise with you. Questions? Please call us at the Jewelry Exchange, 210-592-8786, 210-592-8786, or email questions@inthemoneyradio.com. We'll share the best questions with our listeners on the air. Hope to see you all tonight at our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak. And we hope you'll join us again next week for In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Thanks for joining us, San Antonio. Have a great morning. Have a great day.